Thank you so much. After that introduction, I feel like I should snap my fingers and break into rhyme couplets for you, which I may do at the end. But first off, let me thank Lafayette College for this splendid honor and the wonderful invitation to visit your fair campus a second time. I'd also like to congratulate the class of 2017 on having achieved this enormous milestone today. I'm sure there have been many rough moments during the marathon race to graduation, but today you can all hold your heads high and cross the finish line in a blaze of glory. So let's hear it for the class of 2017. You've done it. I also want to congratulate those long-suffering parents and grandparents here who have sacrificed to make this day possible. You know that they have shared your every joy, they have commiserated with your every woe, and trust me, they are graduating right alongside you today. In fact, I should tell them that following this ceremony, there will be a separate commencement ceremony for the parents and grandparents so that they can receive their degrees. Now, as a professional biographer, I fancy myself a connoisseur of lives and their secret unfolding logic. When I think back to my own graduation day in 1970, yes, in the depths of the Middle Ages, I see a dreamy, idealistic, I'm getting tangled with the tassels here, I see a dreamy, idealistic young English major who was hopelessly naive about the outside world. Yes, I could tie my shoelaces, but that was about the extent of my practical skills in life. You know, George Bernard Shaw once said that at the age of 20, he knew Shakespeare's characters better than his own contemporaries, and that exactly describes my bookish younger self. What I didn't understand then, and what I'd like to emphasize today, was the role that fate and chance have in shaping even the happiest lives. You see, so many of the most interesting lives are accidental lives. You know, with the best of intentions, society has done something very cruel to you young folks. You've been asked to make critical decisions about your future when you're barely out of your teens. Think of it, in the space of a few hectic years, you've had to select a college, you've had to declare a major, and decide upon profession without knowing a great deal about that unruly and turbulent world beyond these cloistered halls. Now, undoubtedly, you're all sitting here today with some fond picture of the future in your mind. Perhaps you see yourself as rich and famous, beautiful and renowned, the toast of high society, the talk of Wall Street, the wizard of Silicon Valley. In the movie theater of your mind, this film may be playing more or less nonstop in the most vivid technicolor. And some of you will indeed achieve an instantaneous and dazzling success. A lucky few of you will fly forward on the wings of genius and march off to a professional school where a predetermined path has been laid out for you. But I suspect that for many of you, possibly even the majority, the lives you lead may bear little or even no resemblance to what you're thinking here today. You know the old saying, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans. Life, from what I have learned since I graduated, is less of a blueprint than an improvisation, less a finished work of art than a work in progress, a high wire act, not some stroll in the woods. Now, I'm not saying this to be some graduation day spoil sport who stands up here and throws cold water on your dreams, quite the contrary. What I want to say today is that the unforeseen future lying in wait for you may actually be infinitely more exciting than anything you can possibly imagine today. How do I know this with such certainty? Quite simply, it happened to me. When I graduated from Yale College, my ambition was to be a novelist and a literary critic. To my everlasting shame and embarrassment, I never took a single history course in college. Why? I was always taking courses in the novel, and they had gigantic reading lists, and I could never figure out how I could simultaneously take history courses, which also had gigantic reading lists. Okay, so what happened to the big budding novelist? I failed completely as a fiction writer. I wrote an unpublished novel and heaps of unpublished short stories. But I did end up finding belated success in, you guessed it, history. the very subject that I had so strenuously avoided in college. I didn't stumble upon my true calling, and stumble is probably the right word. I didn't stumble upon biography until I was in my mid-30s, and frankly, by that point, I felt that I'd made a royal mess of my life. But just when I thought I'd hit the bottom of the pool, I was actually starting to float upwards and see the light. As that great sage Yogi Berra once said, "It ain't over till it's over, folks." Everything, and I mean everything that I have written about in my adult life has been self-taught. In retrospect, and these things are always easy to see in retrospect, I can see that a powerful tide was steering me in the direction I was meant to go and away from the direction that I had wrongly chosen. Sometimes, you know, we can be very, very poor prophets of our own lives. Just ask your parents and grandparents, many of whom will tell you very similar stories. Life is a merry prankster that loves to spring surprises on us and disrupt even our tidiest plans. So don't put too much pressure on yourself today if you feel that you haven't figured everything out. That's perfectly normal. Chance and accident will suggest fascinating new possibilities as you go along. The secret is to be alert to those subtle hints of fate that will undoubtedly be strewn in your path. They'll be like kind of little breadcrumbs in the wood that you have to follow. Now, as a biographer, I know that the most interesting lives are those filled with improbable plot twists. You need look no further than that rock star of the 18th century. I refer, of course, to the Marquis de Lafayette. Lafayette sailed to this country at age 19 in defiance of the wishes of his king, Louis XVI, and in short order, the young man became a major general in the Continental Army, a surrogate son to George Washington, and a pivotal figure in both the American and French revolutions. It's an electrifying story, and one he could never possibly have foreseen when he arrived here at the age of 19. As always happens, one thing led to another, and you end up in a very different place. Biographical annals are full of such improbable zigzagging tales. Just remember that no experience in life is ever truly wasted. If plan A doesn't work out and you're forced to fall back on plan B, you will definitely be richer for having gone through plan A. As Ralph Waldo Emerson once said, and what would a graduation speech be without a quote from Emerson, nature is a rag merchant who works up every shred into new creations. Or to quote another favorite line of mine from Bertolt Brecht, the shortest line between two points can be a crooked one. Now, it's the occupational hazard of graduation speakers to drone on and load you with tons of unwanted advice, so let me limit myself to one last suggestion. Beware of those people who always urge you to do the practical thing. We need visionaries and seers like the Marquis de Lafayette. I was very lucky from the time I was a child. I had loving and supportive parents. But there were legions, and I mean legions of naysayers in my extended family, who thought that in wanting to become a writer, I was marching straight off a cliff. They were like a Greek chorus in my life, always chanting prophecies of doom. And frankly, for a long time, it looked as if they were right. But I was always sustained by my passion for what I was doing, as well as a foolhardy belief that I would ultimately prevail. You see, when you have a passion for something, you have bottomless energy that can overcome almost any obstacle. So please find that passion in your life and milk it for everything that it's worth. Failure is a terrible thing to deal with, but even more terrible is that late in life twinge of regret that you never dared to pursue the one thing that you genuinely loved. Okay, I've now pumped you up with so much good advice that you probably feel as if you're ready to burst. So we need a little moment of musical entertainment. So I'm going to do, as my graduation gift to all of you, you didn't think I could rap, did you? But hey, look, I was involved with the hit musical Hamilton. So what I'm going to do, if I can get this water bottle open, I need some water for this. I'm going to, as my gift to the class of 2017, perform the opening number of, you guessed it, Hamilton. You may not be applauding by the end, let's say. And as a bastard orphan, son of a whore, and a Scotsman dropped in the middle of a forgotten spot in the Caribbean by Providence, impoverished and squalor, grew up to be a hero and a scholar. The $10 founding father without a father got a lot farther by working a lot harder, by being a lot smarter, by being a self-starter. By 14, they placed him in charge of a trading charter. And every day while slaves were being slaughtered and carted away across the waves, he struggled and kept his guard up. Inside, he was longing for something to be a part of. The brother was ready to beg steel bar or in barter. Then a hurricane, I can see the grandparents out there, their jaws dropping. Then a hurricane came and devastation rained. Our man saw his future dripping down the drain. Put a pencil to his temple, connected it to his brain. And he wrote his first refrain, a testament to his pain. Well, the word got around. They said, this kid is insane, man. Took up a collection just to send him to the mainland. Get your education, don't forget from whence you came. And the world's gonna know your name. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton. I have a terrible voice. There's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait, just you wait. When he was 10, his father split, full of debt, ridden. 2 years later, see Alex and his mother bedridden, half dead, sitting in their own sit, the scent thick. And Alex got better, but his mother went quick. Moved in with a cousin, the cousin committed suicide. Left him with nothing but ruined pride. Something new inside, a voice saying, Alex, you gotta fend for yourself. He started retreating and reading every treatise on the self. There would have been nothing left to do for someone left astute. He would have been dead or destitute without a cent of restitution. Started working, clerking for his late mother's landlord, trading sugar cane and rum and all the things he can't afford, scamming for every book he can lay his hands on, planning for the future. See him now as he stands on the bow of a ship headed for a new land. In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, you can be a new man. In New York, New York, just you wait, Alexander Hamilton. We are waiting in the wings for you. You could never back down. You never learned to take your time. Oh, Alexander Hamilton, when America sings for you, will they know what you overcame? Will they know you wrote the game? The world will never be the same. Oh, the ship is in the harbor now. See if you can spot him. Another immigrant coming up from the bottom. His enemies destroyed his rep. America forgot him. We fought with him. Me, I died for him. Me, I trusted him. Me, I loved him. And me, I'm the damn fool that shot him. There's a million things I haven't done, but just you wait. What's your name, man? Alexander Hamilton. Congratulations, folks.